Is this a slight return?
That it is.
Yep. Well, I stand up next to a mountain, chop it down with the edge of my hand. Yeah. Late, great Jimi Hendrix. This is Electric Ladyland. The Voodoo Child's Slight Return is the cut. Oh, yeah. Electric Ladyland is the name of the studio it was recorded in, by the way. I'm not sure if you knew. Of course, you knew that, Matt.
Of course, those of you out there
in the listening audience. Oh, I think I was 15 when my brother brought this one home.
Blew your mind. Right?
Change your world, man. Totally change your world. It's like that scene in Almost Famous. Where the older sister, played by Zooey Deschanel, before she became a household name, had enough of the mom. Had just had enough. And that's what you're supposed to do as a kid. You push the limits and you press the boundaries, and mom finally says, that's it, I can't take it anymore, and you've got and you make your own way in the world. Otherwise, we'd never leave the nest if they made it too comfortable. A failure to launch problem, right?
Boomerang kids.
Yeah, we talked about that last night. That's not their own. I think, we talked last night about boomerang kids a little bit, and we really didn't get on the fact that a lot of times it is their fault. They make mistakes, and the fact that you can go home to your parents is a great thing. But with boomerang kids these days, the latest wave of boomerangers, it's really not their fault. Anybody trying to make their way in the world these days is being hit by economic tsunamis that we couldn't imagine 5 years ago. Oh, like gas prices. You know, gas prices are going up again. It was announced today that OPEC Plus, I guess it is now, with even more evil and greed than previous OPEC. OPEC's going to reduce production by 2 million barrels a day. And they say that it's inflation rates rising interest rates in the West that's forcing their hand to do this, which, of course, is complete crap. They're doing this because the price of crude has fallen. From about $128 a barrel, you know, I forget it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago, to now 80 some dollars a barrel today. You know, when Russia's production was boycotted because of their invasion of Ukraine, the world market suffered and gas prices started to climb. The world kicked into a international oil reserve in which every country contributed, so there would be a stable market with which to buy oil from, and that kind of saw the 100-day straight of gas price drops that we saw in this country over the course of the summer. That's when people were kind of picking the I did it stickers off of gas pumps, the Biden I did that stickers. That was a great fun, smart way to kind of voice your opinion. And then hurricane season finally caught up to us this year, and it was late coming this year too. You know, people who are pushing back on global warming, whether or not it's real, will tell you that, you know, hurricane season usually starts – much sooner, like in August. Hurricane Katrina happened in August. And this year, Fiona, which was the first real storm of impact, it didn't happen until September, late September. And then, of course, Ian came in and cleaned Florida's clock. But we're talking about gas prices. That's what caused the latest uptick, in oil prices. And when oil companies use the weather as a reason for raising prices. And there are five major processing oil and gasoline processing facilities in California that are all undergoing maintenance right now. You think that's not a coordinated effort by the oil companies to help limit supply when it's $80 a barrel? Let's take this opportunity to, you know, ratchet down production so that we can raise prices and put some more money in our coffers. The oil industry is already so subsidized by our government because we've allowed lobbyists to lobby our politicians on behalf of oil companies and pharmaceutical companies and every other lobbying organization. Lobbyists might be the worst thing that ever happened to our politics, is people with business interests being allowed to buy politicians. And now OPEC's going to jump on top of everything. And what they're trying to do, of course, is interfere and guide the midterm elections. And make sure that their profit margins stay fatter than all get out. I mean, the oil companies made record profits this year during that huge uptick in prices this spring when we saw gas go over $5 a gallon on average across the nation. You know, right now you're being told that we pay more out west because there are maintenance problems on the west coast of California, and it's harder to get oil here from the east coast. I mean, down in the south, oil's still under $3 a gallon, or gasoline, I should say. It's still under $3 a gallon. Here, we're looking at $5-something. I saw a story on My Northwest that gas up in Anacortes is like $5.99 a gallon. And yet down in the Gulf Coast and in the southern states, gas is $2.99 a gallon. You can get gas for $4 in Washington and then $6 in Washington in just an hour or two away. It's all location, location, location. You know, the president today is proposing legislation that would limit the number of the amount of gasoline we could export in an effort to compete with OPEC cutting production and Russia being taken out of the international market through sanctions, that maybe we shouldn't allow our domestic oil companies to sell their oil and gasoline on the international market, limit what they can how much profit they can make on the backs of Americans who are paying exorbitant record highs at the pump.
You know, if I ever get access back to my stock account, I'm buying oil stock, I'll tell you that.
That's never a bad time to buy oil. The only bad time to buy oil is tomorrow. You know, it's always today. Do it today. I saw a story today about the energy futures, okay? And how we lost the war on solar power. When we had a Republican administration, and I shouldn't even put an R and a D on it. As we were from both parties, kowtowing to the dollars of the petroleum industry in the form of lobbyists, when our politicians were allowing themselves to be bought and paid for of both parties, they were allowing the oil companies to dictate our domestic policy of energy consumption. And our laws were being made by people who had vested interest in keeping their jobs and getting campaign contributions from oil companies. So we ignored the solar industry. Meanwhile, China now produces 95% of the world's solar panels. While we were ignoring, you know, renewable energy sources at the expense of, you know, policies that favor gas companies, we were staying addicted to gasoline and oil as opposed to moving into the future. We did that. That was dictated by a handful of politicians who were making crazy campaign contribution money to keep us living in the past. You know, I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene said something this week. I can't believe I'm even. And it wasn't the one where as soon as her divorce is final, her and Herschel Walker are going to elope to Russia. It wasn't that. That wasn't really her. I'm feeling that wasn't really her. She didn't really say that. But she did say that Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was trying to, is emasculate the right word?
Yeah, I believe because she was, because her overall point was that somehow it's less masculine, it's demasculinizing our country to become less reliant on the roar of a gas-powered engine.
Right. The push toward electric vehicles was emasculating the American people because somehow she sees masculinity tied to the size of your car or how much pollution your truck kicks out.
Well,
I guess guys with those trucks with the big, big fat tires 4 foot off the ground and those black pipes that shoot like soot into the atmosphere to show how smart and brave and big and masculine they are. Is that what you're going to?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, back in the day, they had those guys that would do the rolling coal thing and put it on the internet.
They'd roll up
on a Prius or whatever and smoke them.
And that's a way to own the libs.
Yeah,
I hope your cancer's quick and you don't suffer long.
I'm going to give credit to our Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg here because he went on Fox News and
he pushed back.
And he was very articulate and very intelligent, in my estimation, in how he pushed back on that criticism.
Well, do you have it?
I do not.
It's okay. I'll paraphrase. He said, there are other politicians that I pay more attention to, which was, and Pete Buttigieg, for all his foibles and for he might not be ready for prime time, he may not be ready for the big stage, But he's a smart cookie. Indeed. He's a veteran who speaks seven languages, who knows that, you know, keeping us secure is very masculine for Americans. Is it emasculating? That's the right word. I'm using the right word, right? Emasculating?
I believe so.
I better ask Lisa Brooks in the newsroom, because you and I, we're making it up as we go along. But Lisa will always give me the truth. To care about the country's national security, to make us less dependent on OPEC pulling a hissy and cutting 2 million barrels a day from their production. That's better for America. That makes us more masculine. That makes us stronger, right? You know, having control over our energy independence, that makes us stronger. And yeah, we can't constantly keep drilling. I know that President Biden said, you know, no more pipelines, no more drilling on federal lands. You want to save a little bit of the planet for your grandkids. Just a little. Okay? To not see the future.
So this is what Ms. Taylor Greene accused him of. Quote, wanting to emasculate the way Americans drive by getting rid of the internal combustion engine. She was at this Michigan rally headed by Donald Trump, of course, and praised the roar of a V8 engine while contrasting the dynamic with that of electric vehicles.
I mean, I kind of get the old gearhead.
Like, I get the appeal of a classic car.
When you buy a Tesla, for $5,000 more, they'll make it sound like a V8.
You can also get it to make fart sounds, too.
Well, but so there's something to what she's saying. There is something about that. Of course there is. But, you know, are we going to, you know, destroy our planet?
But his
so that we feel more manly?
Pitch perfect.
His response was genius.
My sense of manhood is not connected to whether my vehicle is fueled by gasoline or electricity. To be honest, there are other members of Congress that I pay more attention to when I'm thinking about opinions that matter or ideas that are going to be critical to engage with.
Exactly. I love that. I love seeing that. If your manhood's tied to your car's not the problem. You know, it basically is the kind of the root of what I'm getting to.
Maybe this just makes me an anomaly. I know there are people whose image is really tied into what they drive. Now, there are some cars that I think are insanely cool. They're insanely good looking. The Aston Martin DB9, if I were rich, of course I'd own one. But my identity has never really been wrapped up in what I drive. It's just a tool to get me from point A to point B.
Dude, I got a minivan. You know, you want to talk about, you know, Mr. Macho? I don't need that to feel good about myself. I don't need, you know, I'm not saying that muscle cars aren't great. I love the look of a muscle car. I love the sound of a muscle car. You know, if you think a Prius is virtue signaling, maybe it's just somebody that's actually got some virtue. Maybe it's somebody that really gives a rat's patootie about the planet.
This all presumes that everybody, or like not everybody, but a large chunk of people are basing their personal decisions on big expenditures based on what you think. Spoiler alert, most people aren't. Most people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves and what they want. If they buy a Prius, they probably like it.
But there are people who do buy a car, so based on what other people will think.
Well, you know, that's their problem.
Well, it's not a problem. We just shouldn't dictate national policy from that perspective. We shouldn't, like, doom the planet to have warmer temperatures and more droughts we can't feed ourselves, and where fires are out of control every single season, where hurricanes come through and become so powerful over the warmer waters of the Gulf that they just rip states like Florida apart, right? And we talked before about how global warming, what we really disagree on is what the causes and solutions are.
And global warming, too, is outmoded because it's more than just the temperature. It's also the increase in natural disasters, rough weather patterns, and the increased heat. Climate change has a number of critical and concerning factors that are going to dramatically impact people's futures and the costs we pay to keep people safe or restore their homes. Like it or not, agree with it or not, it's here, and it's going to cost us money.
Very true. You know, I'm just talking about what we pay at the pumps and what we can do to help alleviate some of that pain. And when we do see these prices going bananas, we make sure we understand who's accountable and who's responsible for those policies. You know, the president doesn't take credit when prices go down, so he shouldn't get blamed when prices go up. You know? There are so many factors that come into play with what we pay at the pumps. You know, nothing the Biden administration did in the last 3 weeks, they haven't done anything about gas prices in the last 3 weeks. So how can they be accountable for the 60 cents a gallon spike we've seen in 2 weeks in the state of Washington? Just be aware that when you start blaming everything on the current administration, you know, they don't control the global economy. There's recession everywhere on this planet. In fact, America is doing better than a lot of other countries in dealing with a global inflation crisis right now. It's easy to look up. So before you blame everything on the current administration, just kind of look at a bigger picture is what I'm asking. You know, it's the president does not take full credit for the drop in the price of gasoline. What the president did, and I'm reading from a texter who disagrees with me. That's fine. I got no problem with that, really. The president tapped into our federal oil reserve to help alleviate some of the strain of a market, global market shortage brought about by the boycott of Russia's oil production, which is 25% of the global market, by the way. It's their main export. Their main economic engine is oil. And when he takes credit for oil prices dropping, it's because he did what he could do as a elected official by tapping into the reserve. Otherwise, prices would have gone a lot higher. Oh, yeah. It's we got down that rabbit hole, Matt. We did, buddy. We're talking about all the fun things we're talking about. Here's a story we can talk about. Oh, no, we're almost out of time. This is way too much fun for the 2 minutes we have left in this break, so I'll save it for next break. There's a mom in Texas who's looking out for your kid's safety. And I saw the story today, and I'm like, wow, what a brave woman. What a woman with a heart who cares about your kid's safety.
I tell you, at this rate, I'm going to need Mrs. Robinson and Mary Jane when this show is over.
Woo! Careful with that Mrs. Robinson, man. She's tricky. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's Kyra Knights. Boy, what a night, huh? Yeah, we got under a few people's skin tonight with our opinions.
And nothing wrong with that.
It's not.
It's good to be challenged.
I used to think so. I try to keep an open mind. I know it's hard for some of you to believe right now. I get it. It's okay. Here's something we can all agree on. The movie Hocus Pocus 2 is coming after your children. At least that's according to a mom in Texas. I saw the story today, Matt, and I just – and I think I can play the TV report from Texas. I'm going to try to do that here, and hopefully it won't sound too – won't go backfire too far. Let me see if I got this here.
Fall is about change, and now's the best time to
Well, let's blew that up. That was an ad I didn't want to put on the air.
So well, let's, fall is about change.
Fall is about change. That. I'm not sure how long this ad is, so we'll skip that. Thank you.
A local mom is causing some controversy on social media after coming out against Disney's popular new Halloween movie, Hocus Pocus 2.
News 10's Rissa Shaw sat down with the mother who got emotional over her concerns for other families and the media they're consuming.
A worst case scenario is that you unleash hell on your kids and in your home.
Jamie Gooch is a mother of three and the owner of Gooch Family Farms in Troy.
I love everything to do with house and home. I believe everything starts here.
This time of year, fall harvest is heavily celebrated in their household, but Halloween is not.
It grieves me, the thought of exposing our kids to darkness.
Gooch says there's a spiritual war being waged against homes in America, and Hollywood is part of the problem. And right now, one film in particular.
The whole movie is based on witches harvesting children for blood sacrifices.
In a recent Facebook post,
I was a little bit scared when I hit post because I was afraid of the reaction that I would get.
Gooch advises moms against letting their kids watch Hocus Pocus 2.
I believe whatever comes in our TV screens, there are things attached to that. I've seen for myself the things that I've watched with my eyes or heard over a TV screen. They become manifested in real life. Everybody thinks it's fake and innocent, But they could be casting any type of spell that they want to. Anything could be coming through that TV screen into your home.
We have to steal their souls.
She says most of the feedback has been positive, but she knows her opinion isn't for everyone, and that's okay. She says it's healthy to stir up conversations, just not cauldrons.
How do you feel? How do you respond to people who are going to say, you're crazy? It's just a movie. It's all in good fun.
It has been and always has been. Then the post was not for you. The post was for people that have been on the fence on the decisions they need to make for their family.
While Gooch's opinion may not be the most fun, she says if putting it out there changes even one person's mind, it was worth it.
I think at the end of the day, I want people to walk away with discernment. If you're watching this, just start thinking. Start thinking for yourself and even overthink and consider all the options of what you're partaking in.
In Troy, Rissa Shaw, News 10.
That a video, of course, from KWTX-TV in Waco.
Thank you very much, Matt. I appreciate you giving the disclaimer there. And, you know, I don't mean to be condescending, as a theme seems to present itself throughout the course of the show here tonight. But this lady really thinks that, you know, Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy, is that her name, right? If I get that right. And Sarah Jessica Parker, the three actresses who play the Saracen sisters, is that right? I think it's been a while since I've seen the original Hocus Pocus. I haven't seen the sequel yet. Are really casting spells that will unleash hell into your family's home and your kids' lives. And Gooch is their real last name. And they're really from Troy, Texas. And I'm sorry. I shouldn't be so dismissive.
Can I actually defend this woman slightly?
Yeah, sure, of course. And I can feel kind of guilty that I'm making sport of her point of view.
So the other week we were talking about books being removed or kids not having access to books in school libraries.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a very dear friend of mine, very loyal listener, you know, I was on my lefty anti-censorship soapbox.
Sure.
And she is a mother of two, pointed out that certain things are just not age appropriate. And they're
agreed.
Not age appropriate for all children.
Right.
As a parent, you have to specifically know your children. So first of all, I don't actually disagree with part of her broader point. I may not agree with her spiritual beliefs or interpretations,
uh-huh.
but I can kind of agree that it's smart for parents to be very cautious about the entertainment they expose their kids to, especially certain kids that are really sensitive to this. And I think that even if, I mean, obviously this woman is more of a religious conservative, I would guess, but even people on the left could agree that there's certain violence, demeaning of women, certain things that they maybe don't want their children exposed to in popular culture.
Absolutely.
So her broader point that she gets down to later in her speech is that if you don't agree, that's fine. You can follow your own heart and conviction, but do definitely consider it. That point I will grant her, even though I may disagree with her interpretation of how the spirit realm works or does not work, she does have somewhat of a point there.
Well, but she's not saying that, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker's costume is too slutty, or, you know, that there's a love scene, you know, or I mean, it's none of that. I get you that, of course, parents should have not just control but involvement. What,
we are all products of our upbringing and our culture.
Yes, yes, yes. And again,
her upbringing, like, she probably has a very tender, loving, kind heart.
I bet she's got a great family farm. Yes,
in her view of the world, she believes that certain things are spiritually damaging or dangerous. Now, I may not agree with that view, but I can understand why she's concerned. And in a weird way, it's kind of sweet that she is, even if I don't agree with her conclusions.
Is she dooming her children to not be prepared for the realities of the world? When you have such a onerous sense of what your kids are allowed to see and what kind of dangers you're protecting your kids from, are they going to be ready for the real world? It's none of my business, first off. It's none of my business whether or not her kids are ready to not be ripped off by con men or fall prey to predators of business or whatever kind because they lived in this world where their mother was afraid of everything. You know,
well,
that's none of my business.
Yes, but that's a delicate balance
it
from
is.
What I understand of parenting. Because on one hand, your home, and she talks about the world and darkness in the world. On one hand, your home should be a refuge for that, for your kids, from that kind of thing.
In
the real world, when they grow up and become adults, like, you do want to equip them to deal rationally with the world around them. But you also don't want to overexpose them to negativity before they have to face it, because there's already enough in the world as it is.
Did she not let them watch the Disney movie Aladdin because it talks about genies and, you know, and magical creatures who can grant wishes?
I have no idea. And having not seen this, I don't know how it's depicted. I don't even remember, even though I watched the original.
Which one? Hocus Pocus?
Right. I don't remember much of that.
Well, I can't imagine that it's much different. It's a fairy tale, a fantasy story, fictional story about three witches who get a chance to come back and prey on the souls of children. I mean, I get that.
I didn't think this was a discussion about my exes, Spike.
I get that it's dark. And if she doesn't want her kids to watch this because it's material she doesn't feel is appropriate for her kids, that's great. And that I would have no problem with. It wouldn't be a story here tonight on the show if that were the case. But this woman actually said she believes that these women could conjure spells through her television and open up the gates of hell and subject her children to demonic possession.
Well, and if you're teaching your kids that too, that may be something that also strikes fear into them and creates fearful concerns in them or anxiety by them feeling that everything could possibly be some sort of evil spirit or evil influence. So that might not be so great for the kids
either,
honestly.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I feel guilty for ridiculing this woman. That's what I'm doing here.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't, as much as my broadcaster's instinct might tempt me to. I don't agree with her interpretation of susceptibility in that way. I mean, there were people who said that, not most mainstream evangelicals, but there were some who said that about Harry Potter, that kids would start casting spells.
Right. But have you noticed a lot of kids whipping out wands and being wizards since Harry Potter showed up?
I've noticed an uptick in the kids that want to play competitive Quidditch. That's been a phenomenon since Harry Potter.
What movie was it? Oh, The Intern. Remember the internship? The movie with Vince Vaughn and I think it's Owen Wilson, right? The blonde one. They were trying to get jobs at Google, and they played live Quidditch at Google, which was, I thought, was freaking hilarious. You know, I feel bad for making fun of this poor woman, but I just think it's ridiculous that someone really thinks that a TV show is going to bring satanic spells through her television and open up a portal to hell. And the fact that a TV news station in Texas thought enough of it to put this on their air.
Well, I mean, that's how could they resist this story? I mean, we know.
How do we resist? But we aren't presenting it as, hey, folks, here's a word of caution. The new Hocus Pocus 2 movie might open up the portal to hell and subject your kids to demonic possession. And here's Mrs. Gooch to tell y'all about it. You know, I think the TV station in Texas did more to disrespect the woman than we did. I did. I won't drag you into my sordid little world of making fun of this lady.
Well, they let her speak for herself.
They did let her speak for herself.
Do you believe in magic?
It hadn't even occurred to me that you had done this. That's a great job. Oh, you could have played Spooky, too, which is also really great.
Indeed.
Yeah, folks, listen, all of you who took issue with my comments about the gas market and what causes gas prices, I love it. I love that you texted the show that you're never coming back. And I'm sorry that if you feel that way, I love that you got involved. I love that you cared enough to interact with us on it. I hope you can maybe keep an open mind and give us another shot. We're not going to change our political views. They may evolve as more information becomes available to me and to Matt. You know, we really do have an open mind and want to bring you as accurate a view of how we see the world as possible. We're not here to spread propaganda or BS, as we've been accused on numerous occasions.
Although if they paid me more, I might spread some propaganda. I need the money.
I could talk trash for dollars. Anyhow. It's been a fun night. We've got to come right back with some of your texts and the ones that I can read on air. Anyway, we'll be right back after these. I like Halloween. I'm sorry that I was so dismissive of that Texas mom's concerns. And what do I know? She might be spot on. You know? Why else would you make Hocus Pocus 2 if not to enslave the whole world in, you know, evil? Satanic. Anyway.
If Ozzy couldn't accomplish it, I don't know that a movie.
What's Bette Midler going to do if Ozzy couldn't pull it off? Excellent point, Matt. Thank you guys so much for taking part in the show tonight. We started with Matt's problem with trying to get to his money. You know, we're not talking about a lot of money, $250,000. It's not like it's, you know, going to break the poor guy, but I keep saying that. Sorry, Matt.
Well, people are going to figure out that a radio producer is relatively poor. Come on,
yeah,
that'll shatter their
illusions.
So many people out here listening, thinking they could do my job, wishing they could reach these heights and rake in all that filthy lucre, spreading that propaganda, and you're just crushing their dreams.
Now, we talked about how information has gone digital and how paper is, you know, often not the case anymore. A texter did come on and say, you know, I had saved old receipts. The problem with digital banking is it only goes back like to 2 years. And he had saved all of his hard checks, and paper records. Was able to go back to his bank and prove a discrepancy to them. So there's a benefit to that, I guess. We talked a little bit about cryptocurrency and how I don't understand it in any way, shape, or form. Listeners helped straighten me out on that. It's the Bitcoin itself, what it was worth then. There's now a current value to a Bitcoin, and if I still have the registration numbers for the coins I was given back in 2013, I may be in okay shape. We talked about having to climb my dad's when my dad was a manager of a Radio Shack store way back in the early 70s. Our TV antennas caught signals through the air, and we had a rotor, an electric rotor, with a dial you could turn in the living room, and a motor would twist the antenna to face the best possible signal to your home. And a texter from the 425 pointed out that when they grew up, they had a ladder attached to the house. So they'd climb up and get on the roof and move it by hand. And one of us would yell down, "How about now?" Another one would yell from the living room, "Keep going," until you got it dialed in just right. So we really have come a long way, guys. We've come a long way. Oh, good times.
Have we now?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We talked about misinformation and how dangerous it is and how valuable it is to be able to find sources you can trust. And there are folks who think that the honesty around here stops at 7 o'clock and the honesty begins at noon. And, you know, I have no problem with any of you guys hanging out with us. We have different views than you'll hear from noon to 7 on this station. I don't disrespect those gentlemen in any way, shape, or form for having those different views. I don't disrespect you, the audience, for sharing those views different than mine. I have different information that I gather. I have different sources that I go to for my news. I have different sets of priorities. You know, there's a very famous cartoon of a number painted on the ground, and the guy at one side says, "That's a 6," and the other guy says, "That's a 9," and they're both right. It's how you look at life. It's the information you see in front of you that dictates whether you're right or wrong. We talked about how social media networks should be accountable for their content. Texter points out, you have the power to defriend or block on your own. You don't need the government telling you what's right and what's wrong.
Well, it's not the government. It's the social media company.
That's kind of what our point was. It's a private industry. And just like I said before, if an industry can't sell you bad meat and get you sick, an industry who's in there for profit should be able to sell you bad information and make you sick.
Well, people like eating junk food.
Amen. We talked about the value of customer service and how it's a dying art. We had a texter call in and said, first off, great show tonight. On customer service, one of my favorite stories of being stuck as weekend manager at a gas station. Mechanic called in sick. Had a customer came in, was ridiculous. Tried to work with him, but he was just out of control being ridiculous. Made me so mad I told him to F off and get out of the station. Left a note for our owner the next day when I came in, explained to my boss what happened. He completely had my back, 100%. And I said, I wrote back, bosses like that are weird. We got bosses like that here. So when you call the boss tomorrow and tell him all the crap I said tonight, he might have my back. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I might not be here tomorrow night. I might. I hope I am.
Just tell him I said it.
Nah, he'll listen to the tape. That's the beauty of what we do. There's a record of what we do.
That's the beauty of it?
That's the beauty of it. I'll say nothing here that I'm not, I won't be accountable for. How's that?
Fair enough.
And we hope you guys will join us again tomorrow. Give us another chance to win you over. Or another chance for you to make us smarter. It really could happen. I swear. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. It's been Cairo Nights. We appreciate you guys being here. Thanks again.